Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Personalization Outbreak Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to become a sustainable leader in the modern workplace by tapping into the power of self-care, purpose, and defying the status quo. Our guest today, Dr. Yasmin Bumby, is a sustainable leadership advisor with over 15 years of diverse experience spanning K-12 teaching, community organizing, international humanitarian aid, and inclusive education, research, and development. Now, holding a doctorate in education leadership from the Harvard Graduate School of Education, Yasmin now dedicates her expertise to helping organizations with strategic communications, equity, and research initiatives. Please join us as we explore her insights into sustainable leadership practices and how she is helping leaders discover their true, authentic potential through personalized leadership. Now, before we get started, please click the like button below, share it with your colleagues, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and social media at Glenn Yopis. Let's get started.
You are listening to Personalization Outbreak, a podcast about the collapse of traditional corporate standards in today's more personalized world. I'm Glenn Yopis. I'm a leadership strategist, author, contributor to Forbes, and founder of the Leadership in the Age of Personalization movement. On this show, I'm interviewing executives across multiple sectors to find out how the balance between standardization and personalization can exist.
Yasmin, you have been an inspiration ever since I had the opportunity to meet you. Thank you for your time today and welcome to the show.
I can't tell you how excited I am to be with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm ready to have this conversation and learn so much.
Oh gosh, we're all going to learn, and you're going to help people open their minds to what's possible. And so on that note, what was it that opened your mind to pursue this interest in sustainable leadership? And why does it matter to you, Yasmin?
Okay, so I have rebuilt myself from the ground up, pile of rubble and ash, many times over. I know from experience what sacrificing my own vitality for others, others' expectations, what it can do. And I know it because I lost and I slowly regained, unexpectedly regained my vision while healing from multiple precancerous tumors very early in my career. I realized that I was running myself into the ground while I was pushing myself to achieve and telling myself that it was a waste to rest. It was more important to produce. I remember one of my current mentors said to me, and I took on their words, trust comes from production. That's not necessarily true, but that's what they said, and I respected them, and I internalized it. And I internalized the assumption that to waste was a rest, because production came with trust. And so I ran my health, like I said, into the ground. And that's when I realized I need to absolutely prioritize my well-being and creativity and peace in my leadership and life if I was ever going to make it out alive, because my vitality was depleting. And I was 27 years old. And I'm not 27 anymore. And I have come through that experience. And now I care about supporting other leaders to be thoughtful and empathetic. The leaders that they are meant to be, born into being joyful and thriving instead of struggling and burnt out. Because I have a vision. I see a world where people, all of us, are able to live multifaceted lives, free from societal expectations of who we are and who we're supposed to be. We can live unbounded, really liberated. So currently, my team and I, we support people in leadership roles who want to thrive, yet at this moment are feeling stretched thin and producing from a place of force instead of creating from a place of ease.
So Yasmin, tell me what that feels like when you feel as if your soul and your
your passions are being stripped out from under you.
It feels like it felt for me like I had been thrown into an ocean of acidic water, and the insides of my body were being turned towards the outside, and the skin unraveled, but not unfurled in a blooming, unraveled in a state of decomposition.
Goodness. What would you tell, what were the early warning signs?
I remember I was surfing in Costa Rica, and I had just finished my second year of law school. I was going to law school at night while working full time, and I was also co-chairing an education coalition citywide in the midst of running a campaign to secure $1 billion to rebuild school facilities in Baltimore City, where I'm from. And I was giving myself time off. Finally, I didn't have an off, and I'm up there surfing in Costa Rica, and it was the first time I'd ever surfed. I was taking lessons, and I got up on the board. Have you ever surfed before?
You know what? I've been out on the waves, but not on a board. It's been a boogie board, but our director of marketing and sales, Guilherme, he certainly is a big surfer, so keep going.
Well, Guilherme, listen to this, because you know how big of a moment it is when you get up for the first time on the board, balanced, not falling, and you're literally in flow riding the wave. I can't make this up. It was all-encompassing of just a feeling of overwhelming care and love and appreciation for the effort of surfing and the fact that I was able to enjoy a moment of being in flow. So I'm up there and I'm in this moment and my left eyesight goes black. So in the moment's notice, and literally in a blink of an eye, in a moment, I notice that I couldn't see out of my left eye. I'm on top of the world, literally in this ray of joy in the middle of it. And I experience this complete shuttering of my vision out of my left eye. So now what was beautiful and magnanimous and amazing is now dark and scary, and I'm afraid because I don't know how I'm going to get down off of this board, and I can't see. I cannot, my brain couldn't recalibrate my vision so that my right could take over from my left vision. I was just in complete panic, and no one could tell on the surface of the water, on the surface of my face. They're just cheering it. Just go, Yasmin, go, go. And I'm riding it, but yet I'm in this moment of panic. And I finally was able to get off of the board safely, and no one could tell still. And I remember when I was on the shore with my friends and instructors, for some reason, I thought everyone couldn't see. And I said, is anyone having trouble seeing? Can you all see everything? It's like I didn't believe my body. I didn't believe whatever I had just gone through that it occurred. I didn't know what it was, but I was just really hopeful that it didn't happen, but it did. And I was like, oh, we're fine. I thought I needed new contacts. And so when I got back to the States, to my home, I went to an optometrist who then sent me to a specialist who then sent me to another one, all within the span of 2 hours. No one's telling me what's going on. They're just like, you need to go to see this doctor. Do you have anything else to do today? Clear your schedule. And nobody was telling me what was happening. That was the beginning of this journey. I had a blood clot in my retinal vein between my eye and my brain, my left eye. And the blood clot was so large that it was causing hemorrhaging. And in that moment, I needed emergency eye injections, experimental, to see if we could dissolve the blood clot. If I had waited a moment later, my vision could not have returned. My doctor said I was on the brink of completely being blind instead of having the distorted vision and disability that I have now.
Yasmeen, what's the lesson here? And how does this go back to what sustainable leadership means to you?
The lesson is to honor what you need to care for yourself so that you can live a day longer. And that means the way you choose to live amongst others and lead with others has to be rooted in your sustainability, your vitality. Because work will always be there. You might not be.
So why is sustainable leadership a topic that leaders must address with urgency? I mean, what happened to you? What an awakening.
It was.
Well, but why is this so important for leaders? I mean, right now, we're living at a time where health and well-being is on a rapid decline. Why do they need to focus on sustainable leadership, and how do you get them there?
Because people are suffering, and many are suffering in silence. I'm not the only one that has pushed their body to the brink of beyond exhaustion over wanting to produce, wanting to work at a pace that was not sustainable, collaborating with other leaders and mentors who had the same mindset. It's important that if you want to have a cohesive, productive team that you're leading, you have to model how to lead sustainably so that, one, you can have your rest and restoration and be awakened and aware of how your leadership actions impact your team's well-being. So we're in a moment of crisis. I mean, we are coming through a global pandemic. There have been people who have chosen to leave their jobs, their work environments, because they cannot sustain working at a pace that they had prior to 2020 while juggling all that they have to hold in their personal lives, and their health is declining, as you said, as a result of all that people are holding as individuals and collectively in communities. So you can see the crying out for healthier practices, ways of being with each other instead of toxic ways of being with each other and toxic ways of putting our body through literally the ringer. So as a leader, you got to be cognizant of that within yourself and with your team. And if you want to have a team, if you want to be able to continue to create the opportunity and impact in the world with what you're doing with your organization's work, you got to have a healthy one. And that means you have to make leadership decisions, move in a way that keeps the sustainability and the well-being of your team and yourself at the core of your values. And I say you have to, because this isn't an option. We've seen that we need a new kind of leader. There's a paradigm shift, and we cannot continue the way we have been standardized and operationalized to continue leading anymore. This is a new world, and the terrain underneath us is forever shifting.
Oh, Yasmeen, I have to admit that I myself had fallen into that trap. In fact, 2 years ago, I came to work and declared to my team that I was a workaholic.
Yeah.
And I spent 5 days at a wellness retreat in search of three answers. One, how do I care less? How do I disconnect? And how can I last another 40, 45 years for my incredible wife and my 7-year-old daughter? The answers were, how do I care less? I need to care more about myself. How do I disconnect? I need to connect more with myself. And if I did those things, I'd last that other 40, 45 years. And, you know, what you're essentially telling us is, you know, shifting the way the things that we prioritize, the luxury of time is over. I mean, there is an urgent call to action here, isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so how does one get started on this journey? How do you help people?
Wow. Yeah. Well, first I have to say, I resonate so much with what you've just said. You see the stroller in the back. I just had a baby. He's 2 months old.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I want to be here for him. I want to be here with him. And so I'm making decisions differently now, right? Like, it's another layer that's just been unearthed for me. I just want to be here 40 some plus years longer. I'm 36.
So how are you helping organizations or leaders get there?
Yeah, exactly. And so when I work with leaders, they too have families that they care about and they want to live with longer. They have teams that they want to support so they can continue to do the really, really impactful work. So one, I work with purpose-driven organizations and their leaders to thrive, because who you are as a leader is not separate from who you are as a person. And so I take into account all of you, and we work together through team workshops, the opportunities to work together in a single session, through individual and group coaching, so working together over multiple sessions for multiple months. And I create a differentiated pathway for your leadership development based on what I hear you say you care about, the questions I ask you, observing you at work. Also, I weave in the latest research around leadership development. I come from an education background, so I'm very comfortable creating differentiated experiences for people to unfurl and to become the leader they have always been underneath those layers of who they thought they needed to be. So through coaching, workshops, and individual and group work on long sustaining projects that impact the well-being of the organization, I work with folks. So I have an organization called The Wrinkle, and my team and I love working with other purpose-driven organizations. And that's what we do. We help people come back to themselves, to take off the mask and get out of the rut so they can no longer feel they have to accept that they need to perform some vague way of being an executive to get promoted, better compensated, and support their teams. I help leaders develop for themselves how they want to practice leadership and how they want to establish what terms they will agree to as they lead sustainably.
So, Yasmin, share a few questions. Get us thinking. What kind of questions do you ask people?
Yeah. So first, I understand what they care about. And so in order to do that, I ask, what is it that keeps you up at night? That you know that if you had a resolution, you could sleep easier. Because for a lot of us, what presents as a source of frustration, something that's unresolved, is through the quality of our sleep. So I want to know what's going on there. And then once we understand that, I want to know what and who do you want to live for? Because there's something that keeps you able to wake up and put your dress on or put your pants on or put your outfit on one leg at a time. Something that gets us out of bed. What is that? Who is that? We get really clear on what are the ways you demonstrate that that is what you value, that is who you value, and are those demonstrations of value in alignment with what you say you care about, what you say keeps you moving, living another day? And for a lot of people right there, that question is where the disconnect and the misalignment is, because people can have the thoughts of what they care about, but the way in which they are acting is not in practice, is not in alignment with what moves them.
What drives that as we close? What's that misalignment, and how do you create that alignment? Or how is that misalignment? How does that come to bear? Like, why is there so much misalignment between what we want to be rather than what others expect from us?
Ooh, I that's where the misalignment is. It's this misalignment between the core of who we are and us moving through life and seeing what other people show that they care about, and us slowly drifting without purpose towards this vision that other people have of who we are. And what my work does very clearly is get you back in alignment, back to the core of who you are purposefully, consciously, so that you notice when you have drifted and where in your life you have drifted in your leadership experiences towards someone's limited expectation and vision of who you are and who you are allowed to be.
Well, I think that that's the big answer here is, who are you allowing yourself to be? And that requires a tremendous amount of self-trust, a recognition that the status quo shouldn't define you, and that you were brought here to be a creator of opportunities, not just for yourself, but those around you. But it's hard to see that and understand that when you're stuck in standardization, when you, you know, feel this pressure, this continuous pressure of being what other people want you to be rather than what you seek to be yourself. So any closing comments as we wrap it up, Yasmin?
Oh, yes. Yes. To those who are watching this and listening and you're feeling stuck, I invite you to receive permission from yourself to be who you were born to be and not anything else.
Yasmin, you've got us all thinking in a very deep and purposeful way. Now, I often say that the challenges of standardization and feeling almost trapped into what you should be forces us to communicate and share our thoughts at a very surface level. And what you've done so well today is taken us to a place that goes deeper inside of not just our consciousness, but the things that we feel deep down in our souls. And I really appreciate that, because for a lot of people, that's a discomfort and there's a sense of uneasiness. But I think the trick is believing what it is that you're feeling and then envisioning what success will look like when you buy into that process. So thank you so much for enlightening us today. And as we end every show, when you lead in the age of personalization, you will see things that others don't, do what others won't, and keep pushing when prudence says quit. Thank you very much, Jasmin.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
Thanks for listening to Personalization Outbreak. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. If you enjoyed the content, visit ageofpersonalization.com to check out our free streaming video series and learn how to get involved in the movement. I'm Glenn Yopis. I wish you a good day. And remember, without strategy, change is merely substitution, not evolution.